In 1998, I was completing, or in the spring, I was completing my last semester at Conception Seminary. And so as part of the program, I had the opportunity to take a two-week trip to Rome through the seminary. And so I went, and that was obviously when St. John Paul II was Pope, right? And we were hoping and praying to get an audience with St. John Paul II. We didn't until the time that we got there. And about a day afterwards, the priest that was leading the group, he has since passed, he got it coordinated, and we were able to have an audience with Pope John Paul II. That's nothing to brag about, because about another 100,000, probably 10 million people have had personal audiences with St. John Paul II, but sounds pretty cool. Well, so when you have an audience with St. John, or Pope John Paul II, you know, you go to the Vatican and you have to go through all their security, and you're waiting for a long period of time before you're able to go into a kind of an antechamber. And then you go to, if you celebrate Mass with him, then you go to his chapel. The papal chapel is about three times the size of our adoration chapel, I'd say. So we get there about 30 minutes before Mass starts, and John Paul II is there on a prie-dieu, kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, praying. And so we're in the back there, young, you know, seminarians, just in awe. And there he is. You know, we didn't hear the kind of groanings that people talk about when he prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, but there was something incredibly special. And even at that time, everybody knew that he was going to be a saint, you know. He had done so much, and he was just so full of the Spirit. So we were left with really amazement as seminarians, observing the Holy Father in action. And then afterwards, I have to tell you, we go to the greeting space, the greeting room. I don't know the actual official name of the room. And so Pope John Paul II slowly comes. You know, he's somewhat debilitated at the time, but he's walking. And he shakes everyone's hand. And so the priest that was leading him, or assisting him, was one of the priests that took us on the trip and led our trip. And so he got to me, and he said, "This is, you know, John, you're out from Tampa." And he said, "Aw, Tampa." And so everybody in here doesn't know where Tampa is. John Paul II knew where it was. So, amazement. What kind of amazement? I would call it, well, amazement and being in the presence of a saint, but a saint who was taken up with the amazement of the Eucharist. St. John Paul II wrote an encyclical, which is a teaching document on the Eucharist called The Church of the Eucharist. And he said he wrote that document, that encyclical, that teaching document, to rekindle Eucharistic faith. Rekindle, right? To get the fire going again. Eucharistic amazement. I love it. To rekindle Eucharistic amazement. That's what we're after. And tonight, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, hopefully, is the night of the year when our Eucharistic amazement is rekindled. Really? This is the day that Christ established the Eucharist, right? And so we reflect and focus and hold our gaze on the Eucharist in a very special way this evening. So Eucharistic amazement, being caught in awe in the real presence that Jesus is here. I think about different groups that experience Eucharistic amazement that sometimes definitely inspire me. St. John Paul II was one. You know, another group every year that inspires me by their Eucharistic amazement and leads me to have Eucharistic amazement, that I'm in awe of, in the sense of their belief, because it's clear that they believe that Christ is truly present? The second graders. Yeah. Every year, when they're preparing to receive Holy Communion, the teachers do such a great job, and there's so much good anxiety as they prepare for this sacrament. They're nervous because they know that they're going to be receiving Jesus Christ for the first time, and they have, you know, their suits and dresses for this special occasion, and the ceremony and the ritual is so beautiful. Even if you don't have a kid who is making their first communion, it's worth just coming to that Mass, just to be caught in awe of their Eucharistic amazement as they approach the Blessed Sacrament. This this idea of continuing to refocus us on the centrality and the importance of the Eucharist has been a hallmark of all of our, you know, previous popes, the last three to four popes, especially John Paul II, but Benedict XVI, who is still alive, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, he also wrote an encyclical on the Eucharist. The Eucharist as the mystery of love. And in that document, in that teaching document, he said that the Eucharist is a mystery. Okay, so the first thing is the Eucharist is a mystery. The word mystery comes from a Greek word mysterion, from which we get our word sacrament. So the word mystery literally means sacrament. So that's what we're talking about when we say mystery. So it's not God hiding from us, but something that's beyond anything that we can imagine. And so there's a mysterious element. There's an outward sign, but there's an invisible reality that we're trying to enter into and grasp, right? That's what we believe about the sacrament. And so in this document, in this teaching document on the Eucharist, Pope Benedict XVI says that the Eucharist is a mystery that has to be believed, celebrated, and lived. Very important to keep these three things in mind. Believed, celebrated, and lived. So believed. There's a number of ways in which we can come to a belief in the Eucharist. And the first and foremost for our those who are going to be joining the Catholic Church, or some of our RCIA people that are here tonight, there's a lot of learning that's gone over this past year about what the Eucharist is, the Church's teachings on the Eucharist, right? What the Scriptures have to say about the Eucharist, our readings tonight, obviously. And so learning, so as to what? Not just for information, but to lead us to believe. And that has to be continued to keep going on from when one is a little child, like the second graders, they're learning the Baltimore Catechism, so they're getting the doctrine. But for those people, as we advance in age, we need to keep feeding our belief by learning. So this over these past couple weeks, I've been reading Pope Benedict XVI's Life of Christ, and so he has a whole book that's just on Holy Week, and he talks about the real presence of the Eucharist, and he refers to John 10, where Jesus says, I have the power to give my life and to take it up again. I have the power to lay my life down and to take it up again. So in my mind, I'm thinking that Christ has the power to lay his life, put his life right here, hand over his life, make his life present in this host. He has this power. And so maybe explaining it, I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it compared to Pope Benedict XVI, but reading that inspired my belief, right? Okay? I was like, wow, I was kind of caught in awe, kind of leading to Eucharistic amazement. But it can't stop there. Our belief has to lead to celebration. Okay? And so how do we celebrate the Eucharist? We come and worship at the Mass. Some time ago, we talked about the Church's teaching as far as the Mass is the high point in which God sanctifies the world, makes the world holy, and in which we give worship to God. This is the high point. It culminates in the Eucharist. So this celebration of worship and everything that goes along with it, the incense that we use tonight and the procession that we're going to have. You know the purpose of the incense? Well, in the Middle Ages, one of the practical purposes was you didn't have deodorant, and so it really helped the smell in the space. But incense, if you look in the Old Testament, is what? A sign of our prayers rising up to God, but also of the cloud of God's presence. When the cloud is there for the Israelite people, God is present. And so the incense is a way that we celebrate, just one little part of the way that we celebrate the real presence. And when we come up to receive communion and we make that bow and of respect before we received, and we take time to go to our pew and to say a prayer recognizing the real presence, that's the way we celebrate it. The Eucharistic procession, The beautiful hymns, the Tantum Ergo around the Eucharistic procession lead us to what? To celebrate. And so when we believe and when we celebrate, that leads to Eucharistic amazement. Because that's what we're after, right? Because the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. And here's the thing. You have to have all three. You have to have belief, celebration, and living it out. If we compromise on any of those, we compromise all Eucharistic amazement. All right? So the third, and maybe this is the most challenging, after we have come to believe and we celebrate the Eucharist with faith in our ritual, then we are to live it. One thing, well, scripture scholars disagree on most things, okay? But one thing that they really agree about in the Eucharistic discourses in Paul that we hear tonight from Corinthians and in the Gospels is the word for. This is my body which is given up for you. And there's been a ton written on that. And the meaning of that word for, of this offering that is given for the other, for us, for the salvation of all. Well, what that means in the living out of the Eucharist, okay, what Pope Benedict XVI is saying, is that once we receive Christ, he's living within us, and then we are to be for others, to live our life for others. That is why it is such a scandal when those who believe in the Eucharist and celebrate the Eucharist do not live for others. Does that make sense? So all three of these, when these three things come together, these three truths that Pope Benedict XVI talked about, belief, celebration, and living it out, it leads to a Eucharistic amazement that transforms our personal life and the lives of those around us. And brothers and sisters, that's why we come here this evening, to celebrate the institution of this amazing Eucharistic gift. He has given everything, all to us in this sacrament, this mystery.